Welcome back to my podcast, friends. Today I have Ashley Monk, who is an intuitive medium. And this is an amazing conversation that we had. This is part one of a two-part interview that we did. And she is going to be talking about spiritual gifts and how we can connect with the divine. And so, if that's something you're interested in, I'm really excited for you to listen to this episode today. And it's no coincidence to me that I felt prompted to do this during Scorpio and eclipse season. So, yeah, it's a great time to talk about just spiritual aspects because Scorpio is pretty much the death doula and yeah, this is just going to be so great. So let's just dive in. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Ashley, for joining us today. I'm really excited to have you because you are so wise, and I've also experienced your gifts, and that was an awesome experience. Maybe we'll go a little bit into that as well. But if you just want to start by telling us a little bit about you and like your title, like what you call yourself, and what you do as a spiritual medium.
Okay. So my name is Ashley. I am a seventh generation Mormon. So my seventh great grandfather is Hiram Smith. And as far as what I currently do, I call myself an intuitive medium because I do feel what I mostly do is leverage my inner intuition to help provide intuitive guidance for other people, but I also can connect with deceased loved ones on the other side and bring through messages in the traditional medium sense. So a lot of times, people that watch TV and see mediums on TV, like Tyler Henry, what he does is what I do, where if you do have a loved one on the other side, I can connect with them and get messages. So I do a mix of both. I do intuitive guidance and then connecting with loved ones on the other side.
Awesome. Yeah. And I, like I said, I've experienced a little bit of that from you, and it was amazing. So I definitely can vouch for your for your gifts.
Thanks.
Yeah. So when did you know that you like have these gifts, these spiritual, intuitive gifts? Like, did you notice like when you were a little girl, or did you have like one experience where you were like, wow, what is that? And it kept happening. If you can just kind of give us a little insight
Yeah.
into that.
I wish I could say it was a really short story, but it's actually a pretty long story. Because it does. I did start to have some experiences in my childhood, but I didn't put two and two together with what a medium is and what a medium can do until I was in my 30s. But when I was younger, I did have experiences where I would see spirits. Most of the time, it was family members. So after my grandfather died, I saw my grandfather and his spirit appear to me when I was just talking to him casually in my head in the backyard as if he was there. And then he did appear and I saw him. And then there were times when I would wake up at night and I would see like figures in the doorway. It always felt very loving, and I didn't have any scary experiences when I was younger. And it did kind of there was an ebb and flow where I would have experiences clump together, and then I wouldn't have anything for a while, and then more experiences. But seeing spirits was something that did happen quite a bit when I was younger. When I moved into I was, let's see, in junior high, we moved into a new house, my family did, and we had less pleasant experiences there. And by then, I'd seen scary movies, I'd been fed the Hollywood version of what spirits are, which is, ghosts and hauntings and things that are meant to be feared. And so I'd had that conditioning. And so when I started to have experiences in this house that we moved to, they started to scare me. And so what I wanted most was to stop seeing those things. And so for a period of time, I did stop seeing those things. What I did learn is that any type of spiritual gift or spiritual work isn't going to be forced on you. If you don't want it, then you don't have to have it, and you can shut it down through intention. And so my intention at that point was to no longer see any of this kind of stuff. And then I would say in high school and, well, no, early college, shows that had mediums started showing up on TV, and I was fascinated with mediums and how they could get information from spirits, because I'd seen spirits, but I'd never gotten information from spirits as far as my understanding went. And so I really did write it off as, I'm not someone that can do that. But me seeing things made it so that I was curious about how they did what they did. And so I would watch a lot of shows about ghost hunting, all of these different things that kind of surrounded this world of the occult and mediumship. And then as I did that, I started having experiences again where I would start seeing spirits. And again, I would have these experiences that would scare me. So then I would shut down again. And I would get rid of all of the material that had anything to do with ghost hunting, had anything to do with mediums, and go back to a point of not seeing anything. And I want to say the first experience where I really put two and two together, I did have significant experiences where I felt I was different than my friends, for instance, because I would see things that they wouldn't see, and I would feel things that they wouldn't feel, and I would know things that they wouldn't know about themselves. But I noticed a pattern that sometimes I did know things, and sometimes I did see things nobody else saw. And even with that, though, I didn't put two and two together until my brother died. And when my brother died, the night that he died, I had this horrible anxiety, and I couldn't figure out why I was so anxious. I had a 10-month-old at the time, and so I'd had postpartum depression and anxiety, so I was familiar with what anxiety felt like, but it always seemed to, I could at least put my finger on why I was feeling anxiety. But the night my brother died, I had just this wave of complete and total anxiety. I would say to the verge of feeling like I was going to have an anxiety attack or a nervous breakdown almost. It was just very intense. And I couldn't put my finger on why. And at the time, my sister had gone into an emergency room because she thought she had appendicitis. And I was like, this feeling of anxiety must be because of that. And then I had this feeling that someone was dying. And I was like, oh my gosh, my sister is dying. And so I got down on my knees and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed that they wouldn't die, that they wouldn't die. But even though I was still texting my sister back and forth, I still had this feeling that someone was dying. And it finally went away at about probably 4 or 5 o'clock that morning. And then I had to be at work at 6. So I got a little bit of sleep. I got up, I got dressed. I went to work. The horrible anxiety had left. I went throughout the day as if everything was normal. And then I got a call later that night from a friend of my brother's, and he hadn't shown up to work that day. And immediately I knew that my brother was dead. He did take his own life. And at the time I was feeling this horrible anxiety would have been the time that he was dying. And so when it was confirmed that it took a while for us to find where he was, and it took some time to get from me knowing in my soul that he was dead to actually having someone confirm it. That was a few hours before that happened. But that to me said that there was something about that experience, and I felt like my brother had like come to me or communicated with me somehow that he was dying. And then anybody that has had a family member die of suicide knows that it's just a completely awful experience. It's unlike any other when you lose somebody to suicide. There's a lot of things that a lack of closure. There's the guilt. There's the what ifs. There's just a lot that goes into having a family member die of suicide. So I was at one point. This was the day after I found out that he died. I was rocking my 10-month-old in her room and getting ready to put her to bed. And this ball of static energy showed up in the room. Now, whenever I'd seen spirits in my younger years, whenever I'd seen spirits, they would be in the form of a person, but it was like a static almost. So I couldn't make out features. It was just like this colorful static, like when you turn on the TV and there's no channel, like just static. And so this ball of static energy appeared in the room. And then it stretched out into this form, and I knew it was my brother. And he was pacing back and forth, and it's like I could hear what he was saying, which was death didn't bring him what he thought he would. And like he was an atheist when he died. He thought, when you die, that's it. But he was, he still existed. So he, at that point, it was, well, if I exist now, and having been raised with a religious background, does that mean that when I cross over to the other side, I'm going to find judgment and it's going to be more awfulness? And so he paced back and forth and just full of anxiety. And the only thing I could do was tell him it's going to be okay. And I truly felt like it would be okay. Like when I was telling him, you're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. There's nothing we can do to change it now. So at this point, like it's okay to just move on. We're going to be fine. And it was like my heart was filled with this light, and I sent it to him, and then he disappeared. Now I did learn later, lots of years later, that when people die, it's not uncommon for those who die in certain types of circumstances or in certain types of beliefs to really have a choice and prevent themselves from crossing over the veil. And that the when you have they're called rescue mediums, which is they're mediums that specifically work in crossing over spirits. That one of the things that you do is you send them light, and there's a lot of different ways to do that, and then they can go through that light to the other side. So that's what happened with my brother. My mom had a very similar experience, which confirmed to me that it wasn't just in my head, because I believe he went to my mother first, and then he came to me. And then a few weeks later, I had this dream, and it was the most real dream I've ever had in my life, where I was sitting in a restaurant with my husband, and my brother came in, and I was so mad at him because it was like he was alive, and like he'd gone into hiding or something like that because he was so real in front of me. I was so mad at him, and I said, "How could you do this to us?" And he apologized profusely. He said, "I'm so sorry, but I want you to tell everybody that I'm not gone. I'm not gone. I'm still here." And I still get choked up when I tell that story because it was so real. And since then, I know he's okay. I've had other witnesses that he's fine, but That experience is what really helped me put the two together, the spirit communication, and that I was able to get messages, and that it wasn't something that was magical, I guess. It was something that I just happened because I was connected to this other person. And so at that point, because there was a lot of things that we didn't know about why he decided to take his life. I had a general idea of why, but in his letter that he left us, he said that there was one, if one thing had happened, then he would have to go, and one other thing did happen, and so he decided he was going to end his life. And I didn't know what that one thing was. And there was a lot of other things. I just didn't have closure other than I knew he was okay, but like I still wanted some answers. And so there is a forum on Reddit for medium readings where it's a forum of just a bunch of mediums, and people post pictures of their loved ones, and then a medium, usually they're practicing mediums, sometimes they're scammers, but there are legitimate mediums on there. And they would, pe so people would post pictures of their loved ones, and then a medium would answer with information that they were getting. So I posted my brother's picture, and I had some responses from other mediums that confirmed that the experience that I had in my daughter's bedroom was also correct because they were getting the same type of information. And a lot of the other things that I felt, it was someone else that was a total stranger on the internet was getting this information that made sense and matched my experience. And so then it was like, okay, well, if they can do that for him and I could do that for him, maybe I can get information for someone else's loved one. And then I started to scroll through this subreddit of people posting pictures of loved ones, and I started to try and see what information that I could get. And it's interesting because the way that I got information from my brother, and eventually I noticed the way I get information for from someone else's loved one is the same way I would get information when asking for answers in prayer. It was very, it's the same mechanics. And so I was scrolling through, and I would kind of, I never actually wrote down or responded to any of these pictures for a long time because I didn't have any type of confidence. But eventually, there was one night where I was scrolling through, and there was this man. He was younger. He looked like he was maybe 30. And the person that posted the picture was just asking what information they could get from him. And because he was young and white, I assumed that he probably died by suicide because that is such a prevalent cause of death. I made that assumption. And then I heard this, no, that's not correct. That's not how. And so it kind of stopped me in my tracks. Like, okay, if that's not how, then how? And okay, I'm going to spend some more time here. So it's like that photo drew me in. Like this was something that I could actually get information about. And so I responded to her. I said, look, this is my first time doing this. I'm really sorry if this information is wrong. I just want to let you know. Sorry if this is wrong. And the information that I got was that he, as far as how he died, he said he was careless. Like I had this feeling that he was like, it's just like I knew he was careless. And at that time, as I was getting this information, the right side of my arm kind of felt tingly. Like it was like there's something going on with the right side of my body here. And I felt, you know, he was careless. And then as far as messages, I was like, okay, so what messages then? And the message was that he missed someone whose name started with a C, and that he wanted to give that person warm hugs. And that's all I got, which is not very much. But I sent that to this person, and they responded with, "That makes sense because that's how he described his cause of death." Because what had happened was he'd lost a bunch of weight, and then he'd put it all back on, and then he'd had a heart attack, and he said that he'd been careless as far as, you know, if letting himself go, and so that made sense. And then her name started with the C. And the reason that she was posting that is because she was missing his warm hugs because he was known for giving big bear hugs. And so that's all the message that she needed to feel comforted. And so that happened. I was a little bit floored. My husband comes home and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to tell you what I just did. And a little bit mind-boggled. And both my husband and I were raised LDS. We're kind of raised with the mediums open the door to the devil. So we were kind of like, I'm not really sure how to categorize this experience, but my mind was blown. It also felt very natural. It also felt like I made a profound difference in someone's life, like it was good. And so, now part of the story that I skipped over was when my husband and I first got married, I did have some experiences that kind of scared the heck out of him and scared the heck out of me. And so part of like what we decided to do to make sure those scary experiences didn't happen was completely and totally avoid all things that had to do with spirit communication, no ghost hunting, no medium stuff, all of it. Out of the house, stuff it. And so he was like, do you remember why we don't do this? And I was like, yes, but this. And so my husband is just he's wonderfully trusting of me, and I'm trusting of him. We do have this partnership where we can support and trust each other and like let each other kind of do whatever they feel is the right thing to do. And so he didn't tell me not to do it anymore. He just said, okay, well, just keep this in mind. This is what happened last time. So if this is what you feel you want to do more of, I'm just saying, be careful, which I was feeling the same thing because the last thing I wanted to do was open up the door to the devil. Now, here I am a few years later, and I now know that mediumship doesn't work like that. Spirit communication isn't opening up the door to the devil. It works on laws of attraction. So if you're not looking for the devil, you don't get the devil. And part of the reason that watching things about ghost hunting and other types of occult things is it kind of makes you anxious and sometimes brings in fear. And those are vibrations that would then attract that type of scope of entities, so to speak. And if your intention is to give a message of love and healing and to open up to, you know, heaven, essentially, then that's what you get. It works on laws of attraction. And so it did take quite a bit of a deconstruction process and lots of overcoming fear and trial and error for me to get to the point where I am now, which is very comfortable with working with spirit, getting messages. A lot of people think that I have like dead people that show up at my house, and that's not how it works. I don't have dead people showing up at my house. It's kind of like plugging into a phone line, and I get the information. I have control over the information. If I don't want information, I don't get information. And I haven't had any issues with any type of, scary experiences since I learned how the mechanics work, which is why I'm so passionate about teaching about these spiritual gifts that people have, but that churches and really in any type of religious community, they are taught to fear and avoid instead of embrace and learn to work with. Because it's such a beautiful part of how we can assist and help humanity and connect to one another. And so many people avoid it because of fear, because they're, and that fear really centers in lack of understanding and how it works. So that is why I do what I do. One, I do readings, but I also teach, is because everyone is wired to do this, and it's nothing to fear. So that was a really long answer to that question. I don't know how much time you wanted me to spend on it, but that's how I got to be where I am.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for sharing, those tender experiences about your brother and everything. I appreciate you sharing that. It's helpful for people, who are probably curious about this and like just have no idea. I think it's just, really helpful to hear all of those details. So thank you.
Yeah.
How do you like if someone's listening and they're like, I have had similar experiences to that, like how would you say to go about like strengthening the gift or to like learn more about? So like if there's any books that you could suggest or like so you're teaching, so that would be great too if you want to tell us about like, kind of like your mentorship class or anything else like that.
Yeah, there are so many books out there, and there's classes, and I'm not the only one that teaches. There's so many people that teach. But ultimately, before you get into books, before you get into classes, the most important thing to do is to learn to trust yourself and trust the intuition that you have. Because so much of this kind of work is trusting that you can get messages and listen to the spirit and be guided, and that you can receive information that is correct, and you don't need that information to come through someone else. You are completely and totally capable of getting it yourself. So, a lot of times, what I will come across in teaching others is that they grew up in this culture where only men or only prophets get any type of revelatory information, or they will look to receive counsel from people other than themselves, and they'll have one answer, but then they'll check to see if this other person has the same answer. And if that other person doesn't get the same answer, then they completely invalidate their answer and go with what the other person said. And that is actually how it's like, that is the worst possible thing you can do for developing this, because this is about the fact that we are divine beings and we are wired to connect with the divine. And part of that is that sovereignty and listening to your own intuition and knowing that you know. And so that is where you start, is it, and you can put that to the test. There's so many little fun exercises that you can do to put it to the test, but I would say that it really matters in your own life choices when you follow through with doing something that you feel is right, even if someone else is telling you that it's not, that you are strengthening that intuition that you have, because this is intuition. It's just like intuition on steroids is really what mediumship is. And so that's where you start. It's learning to trust yourself. It's understanding that the answers that you get may not be the answers that other people that you even respect and know are good people and wonderful people. It might be a different answer than what they're getting. But it's learning to trust that you know what that correct feeling feels like, and that you have the confidence to say, I know they disagree, but this is what I know in the answer that I received, so I know it's correct.
Yes. Oh, I just love everything you just said. That's like, yeah, the essence of what I teach too, and what I feel to be true is just, yeah, trust your intuition and trust yourself. Like, that is.
Yeah, and when you think about it, the structure that someone else is designated to get all the answers for other people, it's kind of like a colonization of knowledge. Like, we're created to be able to receive higher knowledge and understanding, each one of us. And so to say that someone else has to get it, it's kind of like saying that you can only go to one water source, that only one water source is the water source, and you have to only get it from there. But we're like 60% water. We are water. We don't like need to go to other sources or that one source for water. We are water. We are divine. We are wired to get this type of information. So learning and recognizing that you are capable of getting this type of divine information is where it starts.
Beautiful. Yeah. And so when you say, like, I mean, I believe that everybody is wired to receive, revelation, intuition, and answers for themselves. And but this is like, yeah, a specific, yeah, I just wanted to like clarify that. Like, that you're saying that everyone's wired to do that, but being an actual like medium or intuitive for other people is, a separate gift.
Well, I do believe it's something everyone can develop because there, and what was reviewed in the classes that I teach is that there, and many other mediums teach, is that there's everybody's wired to get information in different ways, and that a lot of the time when we are looking for intuition or looking for information, our intention determines what we connect to. And if we have an intention to connect with someone on the other side, we can. It really does come down to working the wiring, because I do believe that because we are wired to be intuitive beings that receive revelation, we are also wired to connect with those we love on the other side. It's just a matter of learning to work that wiring, and practicing to work that wiring. Some people do come with a natural ability to do it. So just like some people come naturally able to sing or naturally able to run faster than the average person, some people do naturally come with more of an ability to connect with the other side. But everybody can learn it. And it starts with recognizing when you're getting answers. Just like I said before, like the way that I got the information was exactly the same way I would receive information that was an answer to prayer. So that's why it wasn't hard for me to transition into receiving messages from loved ones on the other side, is because all of the mechanics work the same. We want to sometimes separate information from spirit or from God or from someone on the other side, and put it all in different categories and in different ways that we receive information, but really the mechanics are the same. Any type of communication that comes from outside ourselves and from a higher consciousness and a higher plane, it all works the same. And so it did kind of, this is also why understanding church history, I understood it so much better, and it made so much more sense after I understood the mechanics of revelation and how that works with mediumship, with personal revelation, with prophets, any type of information like that, the mechanics are the same. And so it's part of the reason also why I wish the church would embrace the mysticism that was in the beginning. When you look at how Joseph Smith received some of the information that he received, he used seer stones, and that's a form of mysticism where those stones were made of jasper. Jasper opens your crown chakra. Revelation comes in through your crown chakra, which is at the top of your head. And so the way that he did things would facilitate working that wiring that we all have, which is to connect to spirit, connect, receive revelation. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yes. And thank you so
Yes.
much for, because I mean, I'm a convert to the church. And so, but I've kind of, had some woo-woo type of, beliefs before I joined the church. And so that lined up with me. I was like, oh, of course. Like, it makes so much sense that like this 14-year-old boy, like he's searching for truth. Of course, he's going to find answers. And like, that's really cool that he's looking through a hat, actually. And like, I was really captivated by that mysticism because that felt like good to me. And so I falsely assumed, being a convert, that like people were comfortable with that because that's what the church was kind of based on. But I quickly found out how much, I was shut down. Like, being interested in like reading horoscopes or astrology, and some people in the ward being like, we don't do that. We don't read that. And I'm like, but why? Because, like, isn't that what our religion is, kind of based on? Like, exactly what you just said with like the seer stones and the mysticism. And so it was very strange.
It's been taught to fear, but that the reason that we've been taught to fear it, there's a whole another hour of information on where that stems from. But we have been taught to fear it or to discount it as valid. Joseph Smith used scrying, which was looking through a hat. Scrying is technically in the category of witchcraft, but then everybody's been taught to fear witchcraft. And there's a really huge misunderstanding about how and what that is and how that works. With horoscopes, we read in the Bible that the Magi, they looked to the stars to know when Christ was born. So that's astrology. It's
Preach.
looking to the stars for signals and patterns. People, the only time astrology is going to be a problem is when you say that astrology is fate and that you don't have any free will. We absolutely have free will. Astrology just tells you what some patterns are and kind of some of the energy and events you're working with. But so much of religious where religions stem from, and the information we have now, it comes from mysticism. That's how we've connected throughout the eons of being humans. We came to the planet with ways to connect, and everybody's different, so we're going to connect in different ways. But everybody can connect if that's what they want to do, and they don't have to do it through someone else. They can do it themselves. So, I do wish that the church would embrace that a little more because it makes so much more sense to me that this is how Joseph Smith got some of his information rather than like kind of the scrubbed history that the church kind of wants to avoid, and make it so that it makes sense to non-mystics. But the beautiful part of the history is that it is mystic, and there's nothing to fear with mysticism. That makes it more legitimate to me than saying that it falls into this scrubbed box where people are put on a pedestal and, oh, they're so special, they're different, when really they're men who learn to work their wiring. Women also have that same wiring. We all have that wiring, and they're not on a pedestal. They're just like us. And that also would help, I think, with some of where the church struggles with, some of the revelations that came from, church history, where some of the prophets have said things that were racist or really unkind, and you get into this battle of was it opinion or was it revelation? And if you just explain and understand how the mechanics of receiving information from a higher source work, and kind of demystify it, it all makes more sense. And it all made more sense for me. That helped answer kind of a lot of the questions and concerns that I had about church history was understanding mysticism.
Yes. Ah, you just spoke so many beautiful truths. Thank you. Yeah, I feel like faith is so much more expansive when you embrace the mysticism.
It is. It's beautiful. It opens up this whole new world. And I can't express enough how it opens up this whole new beautiful world. I feel, first of all, side note, this cured my depression and postpartum anxiety issues that I was having. There's something about working in this higher, like working with the other side, really, that adds a calm and a peace. And it helped me so much, my mental health. Now, is that going to be the same for everybody? No, but that's how it was for me. It's a fairly common side effect for a lot of the other people that I know, is that it calms anxiety. So it's like another way that our bodies are designed to be in a more peaceful state. It opened up a whole new world of understanding, and it's night and day the way I think and feel and am now compared to prior to this. Following your desires to develop your spiritual gifts, it leads to a fulfillment that you can't really express until you get there. So that's also why I like want to scream from the rooftops, like, you can do this. You don't need to be afraid. I know people have told you to be afraid, but this is such an amazing opportunity that we all have to connect with divinity for ourselves and find a whole new world of understanding. It taught me to love people more. It helped me understand and love Christ on such a deeper level. It was always kind of an abstract concept before, but this opened the door to quite a different understanding of Jesus and his teachings and just how powerful they are and how they really can change the world. So I could spend hours telling you all of the ways that it's changed my life for the better.
Yeah, I can really, really feel that. And I feel like you're just speaking and breathing so much like hope to people who feel like disconnected. Like this is the answer, I feel, part of it, as you said, that like this is the hope that we can spread for people to connect to the divine, to themselves, and really feel that love and connection, and that it doesn't have to be through this narrow, specific way, which kind of leads me to the next question I wanted to ask you about, is because, you know, we are taught in the church and multiple prophets and things that tell women, increase your spiritual strength, increase your spiritual gifts, but only in very specific ways, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of women, myself included, and probably you, like, you know, especially if you feel like you identify as being highly sensitive, being spiritual and intuitive, you know that there are lots of ways, right?
Yeah.
Lots of ways to do that. And you're like, but all we keep hearing over and over and over and over again is the only way to do that is to like read your scriptures,
yeah,
go to church, read your scriptures. And I'm like, I'm screaming over here too. And so how, like, for women like you and me who are like, there's more to this. There's so much more, but they're telling us, you know, there's only this very specific way that you can do this. Like that's such, so much cognitive dissonance there.
Yeah. So one of the things that I have learned about revelation is there's this thing called a filter. Everybody has a filter, and it's like your base of knowledge and your understanding. And when you have this base of knowledge and understanding and you want to stay in this box, you're only going to get information that fits in that box. The only time you get new information that's really expansive information and may teach you and work with your base of knowledge and expand that base of knowledge is when you remove that filter and you're open to having something totally new that is possibly contradictory. I mean, a complete and total openness. That's the only time you're really going to get that expansive new revelation. And so, in my opinion, what is happening is we have a church that is very steeped in the culture of patriarchy, and they have that patriarchal filter where it's just, this is how it is. But that is a filter. So it's not saying that they're wrong. It's not saying that they aren't connected. It's just the information that they get is based on the way that they see the world and what their filter is. Remove the filters. Remove your filter. Be open to complete and total new information. When you look at the history of Christianity and look at originally what Christ taught, he did teach that women and men were equals. And you know, we do have female apostles, Eunia. And if you look at the story of Thecla and Paul, Thecla, Thecla, I believe is how you spell it. Google Thecla because her story was removed from the Bible. And it is such an empowering story of the power of femininity and the power of the feminine divine and how we need both the feminine and the masculine in order to have the full picture. And Carl Jung, he said that the church, and meaning Christianity, would die without the restoration of the mother, meaning without this female portion. And we look and there's women leaving the church in droves because there's no presence of Heavenly Mother. We're told you can know about her, but you can't talk to her. You can't,
That's
she
very
has no
dangerous.
power. Yeah. It's,
There's the
it,
fear
and
again.
because, you know, there's a whole different thing that we could talk about, a Heavenly Mother, but also that, you know, women don't have the ability to hold the priesthood. They can't be prophets, but there's prophetesses in the Bible. And if you look at original Christianity, originally, Christianity was practiced in homes. And so men and women both were able to hold the titles of evangelists and prophets and all of the titles that we have today. Women and men were both able to hold that. Now, 300 years after Christianity was established, it started being practiced in public. Now, in Roman and Greek history, women were not allowed to speak in public. So if you had a church or some type of a worship service that wasn't in your home, but actually in a public place, then women weren't allowed to participate by law. And so a lot of where you get patriarchy simply stems from cultural and historical rules and laws around, you know, Greek and Roman traditions rather than actual revelation. There's a book called When Women Were Priests that talks about that, how they have writings and evidence how women, when they became widows, they would be called to essentially be the same position that a patriarch has. So what someone that gives a patriarch a blessing, women originally had that role in the original church. So a lot of what we see today is not that women aren't supposed to have these things. It's been women have been told that they can't be a part of these things simply because of patriarchal tradition and cultural understanding. And that's where I say, please, can we remove that filter and be open to the idea that we are equal and we're all wired to get information in the same ways. And it doesn't matter if you're a man, it doesn't matter if you're a woman, we're all in this together. So that's, you know, another topic
Yeah,
that
I know.
I could elaborate on forever.
Seriously.
So the main message is that I do completely understand the fear of bridging or broaching into these types of activities and topics because there's what your priesthood leaders have said. And that's where I say Jesus himself said that men and women were equal, and there's evidence that he treated them spiritually the same. And I would encourage you to remember that before you discourage yourself from moving forward.
Yes, that's so important. And I think something that has, helped keep my like foundation of faith, you know, amidst like, you know, deconstruction and all of those other things, is really having that connection with God and with the divine and with Jesus Christ himself, and knowing that this is not from God. Like, this is not God's doing. It's the filter, it's the patriarchy, like you're talking about. And so that has been helpful, specifically just in my own journey. I know everyone's journey is different, but being able to separate that from like, this is not God's will.
And that's the difference. If someone is in a deconstruction process, having that divine connection or not having that divine connection is what will make or break your deconstruction process. It can make it horrific if you don't have that connection, or it can make it empowering if you do. So choose empowerment, because that's how we are designed, is to be spiritually empowered.
You're just dropping so many beautiful things. Choose empowerment. I love that. I want to recap some things that Ashley said. Spiritual gifts aren't forced on you. It's all about your desire and intention, which is so, so true. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Come back next week for part two. If you want to connect with Ashley, you can find her on Instagram at the Post Mormon Mystic. You can send her a message, and you can also schedule a reading with her, which I highly recommend. It was a really amazing experience, the reading that I had with her. And I also wanted to let you know that I am doing a fall special for the next month, where you can book 3 1-hour emotional processing coaching sessions with me. And we can dive into this type of thing with shadow work and just processing any emotion that is coming up for you, especially during this eclipse season. And that is $333 for 3 sessions with me. So you can send me a message at The Soulful Woman on Instagram, or you can also send me an email at deanna@thesoulfulwoman.co. C-O. Are you on Instagram? Come follow me at thesoulfulwoman_ for some more goodness, and you can also subscribe to my email list. There's a link in my profile for that. See you soon!